Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
A very good evening. Welcome to the Cheltenham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. It's Jake Watson in for Johnny Burrow this evening. We've got the usual crowd, though, in the studio for the Cheltenham Fan Show. We've got Paul Martin and Ollie. Lots to speak about. Takeovers, transfers, just the usual when it comes to Cheltenham. But something has just been brought to my attention. I could see, you know, we do our running orders here, and as and when we're going to do certain topics. But we were going to talk about your pre-season game later on in the show. But I'm sorry, guys, we can't wait. I can't wait.
All 46 minutes of it.
Yeah. So, you were playing a behind-closed-doors pre-season friendly today. The long and short of it, it was abandoned after the opponents walked off in protest. I've seen a couple of videos now, and I'm reading up on it. It's funny. Who wants to tell a little bit about what exactly has been going on with Ollie, go on. Explain. This is funny.
It's funny. For some reason, it really feels like typical Charlton, even though we didn't do anything.
No, I don't think you can blame Charlton here. Yeah. I don't think you can take... This sounds like... Not your fault, but at the same time, something very funny to have been a part of.
Yeah, so we were 1-0 up in the friendly, and the second half kicked off. It was only meant to be 7 minutes.
Literally.
So, and then we win a penalty, and clearly this is quite upsetting for Gaz Metan.
Yeah,
is that what they're called? Gaz Metan.
Gaz Metan.
Well done.
And I just read it. And yeah, so they got upset about it, started manhandling the ref, pushing him about, giving a bit of argy-bargy. Two players get sent off, and then they walk off in protest. But, Lalta still takes the penalty and scores, so that's 2-0?
Maybe they run out of gas, I don't know.
Hey. Very good.
I'm
here all week.
Oh, God. If you do go onto Charlton's Twitter account, you will see Lyle Taylor take the resulting penalty, clearly seeing the funny side of it. It's not too... drastic in the sense of it's not going to affect anyone in regards to pre-season plans, but
we lost 30 minutes in the players' legs, aren't we? So we'll just have to pick it up next week.
Yeah, I imagine Lee Bowie would be a bit annoyed about that because obviously the guys on the subs bench came on for the second half. And but this is a joke because a couple of days ago, Lee Bowyer sort of explained the thinking behind the friendly. As we've just mentioned, it's only 70 minutes, 35 minutes each way. And it was pretty much arranged to be sort of non-contact, just to get the boys going again. It has to be pointed out, the Romanian boys, I think, had played 3 friendlies beforehand.
Yeah.
Amongst others, a 0-0 draw against Kilmarnock. So maybe they were just upset losing to Little old Charlton, championship team with no budget, certainties for relegation. And the whole embarrassment of going 2-0 down and facing defeat was just too much for them. Yeah, I don't know.
Must be.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's still a friendly. Like, nothing happens at the end of a friendly, win, lose, or draw. So getting that upset to attack a ref and walk off the pitch... that's a winning mentality in Gaz Metan.
That's a nice spin on it. It's a nice spin. They're that much winners. They just simply could not take going down potentially to Charlton. It is a shame it's a bit behind closed doors because I'd like to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see the incident which made them so incensed that not only would they lay their hands on the referee, but off the back of that. So two players got sent off for their actions against the ref. And then I presume that was, again, in part of the reason as into why it then culminated in them deciding they didn't want to carry on.
Yeah.
Our king of banter, Lyle Taylor, was definitely involved. He was the one who got fouled. So, and no doubt he was
probably on the wind-up.
He probably did. But he was probably on the wind-up as well. And looking at his little video afterwards with his cup of tea and...
Won the cup.
Taking the mick. Yeah. And, you know, he's a bit of a wind-up merchant. So maybe they just got too wound up by him.
Yeah, maybe. Job done. With regards to the pre-season tour, what more do you kind of know of it? I mean, that wasn't the only game, wasn't it, against the Romanian giants, Gaz Metan?
It's the only game planned. They're out there. I think they come back, is it tomorrow or Saturday?
I think they come back.
So presumably they've got a day off with their families on Sunday. It's been a very tough training camp. Obviously, good heat training. All the players have been saying how tough it is. And yeah, lots of benefits. The new signings have obviously been emerged into the team fold, and by all accounts, it's been a very, very good week. And Lee Bowie has stressed the importance of trying to be one of the fittest teams in the championship next season. And by God, with the temperatures out there, this is a good way of doing it, I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, how important is pre-season? Because parts of you are like, the last thing you want to do is pick up an injury. You've got the other side of it, if you want to kind of bed in the new players. And at the same time, you really want to kind of get the players up to speed. So when you get to the first game of the season, it's all up and running. You really do have to get the balance right, don't you? It's not as straightforward as saying, right, you know, let's get the lads, we'll go off somewhere, you know, nice and some nice facilities and just play some football for a bit. There's so much more to a pre-season. But, you know, it can define whether you start the season well or good, and ultimately, whether you have a good season or not. It really can be that important.
I think the players go away, have their break, but they're given a training plan as well, aren't yeah. they? You know, don't get fat, don't drink this, don't eat that.
They do proper measurements, you know, and everything.
So, yeah. You know, these guys are not going on holiday, drinking 14 pints a night and then, you know, getting absolutely hammered and then, you know, falling asleep on the beach, anything like back in the day in
like
the
you.
70s. Yeah, like me, yeah.
Back in our day, Martin.
Back in our day, but...
And you know, 15 pints instead. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you only got to look at some of the Instagram stories, you know, Jules Lapsley was training when he was on holiday. Albie Morgan was. So, you know, these guys are fit. You know, they just need to get the more fitness in the legs and, you know, get the back up running. So, you know, these sports scientist guys now, it's all so yeah. much different, isn't it?
Yeah, as Paul was saying, I think it's Lebo's plan that we won't necessarily be the maybe the most technical team in the championship, but we just work our best to be the fittest. That's the best chance we've got all season. If we can outrun the other team, that last longer than them, then, I mean, that could really benefit us in the long term, because obviously it's going to be quite a tough season coming up. And, if we're the fittest team there, then, you know, we've got a great chance.
You've only got to look at last season, the amount of last-minute goals that we scored as well.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. And I've also got an appreciation now of these... What are these sports bras they wear now? what can you tell us about this, Jake?
Why do you think I can shed any more light on this?
Because you're wearing one.
I went for a run early and I was thinking, you know what I really need? A sports bra. Yeah.
Well, they've got heart rate monitors in them and all that.
In all seriousness, they do tell a tale and they're just monitoring everything. Mm-hmm. And they know exactly what these boys are up to and what they can and cannot do.
There's no cheating, is there?
No hiding.
Not at all.
Yeah, back in the day, you know, if you're playing some kind of game, just take it easy. Wait till the end. Yeah. You know, if you're going on the big group runs, just sit in the pack. You know, don't bust a gut. Yeah. But now there is no cheating whatsoever. If you come back, you're like 2%, you know, more body fat. You know, it really is. And I remember I had a conversation a long time ago. I won't say his name, but he was recently working at a championship football club, and he is the sports scientist there. And he was telling me about time when he worked for another club many, many years ago, and one of the players came back, and he wasn't awful, but he'd clearly not done what had been asked of him over the summer, and that was him out. And again, I won't name the player's name, but he was a former Arsenal kind of trainee. He'd made the breakthrough, couldn't quite then make the breakthrough, so made this move. And again, he kind of just rocked up thinking, you know, I've come to a championship club, I'll get some games, hadn't done the pre-season and stuff, and now the guy plays in non-league.
Says it all.
Yeah, and so yeah. It really does demonstrate how important, not even the pre-season, the pre-season it is for a professional footballer. And again, you chaps talk about the way that Lee is going to try and approach this championship season. It is a step up, and there is undoubtedly going to be some sides who are paying players, some of them 50k plus a week. You know, there's some very, very, very good sides and some very, very talented footballers. And we all accept that Charlton aren't going to be competing at that level. So how did Charlton go about competing at this level? Because that's what they have to do. And as I say, if you can be the fittest and strongest and most kind of drilled side in that division, then that will go a hell of a long way, won't it, to helping, which survival and staying in that league is obviously of paramount importance, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, Bo is no mug. He knows exactly what he's got to deal with. He knows exactly the players he's got.
What entails.
Yeah, exactly. And he knows that he's not going to be able to, you know, be like do the skills and everything like that. But he knows that if you can outrun them for 90 minutes, that's where we're going to can potentially hurt people. Like Martin was saying, we scored a lot of last-minute goals because of our fitness last season. There's no reason we couldn't do it this season as long as we get off to a good start.
Yeah, my only slight concern is obviously we're still looking to get a number of players in.
Yeah.
And obviously with this intense fitness regime, you could have the possibility of players coming in a couple of weeks' time and they're not going to be up to the levels that our current players are on. So you might have a little bit of an imbalance there. I remember a couple of seasons ago when we signed Ben Reeves.
He'd
obviously maybe had an injury in the pre-season. And it took him a while. And I think he only sort of showed his face in that Crawley game in the Checkatrade Trophy.
You can level it out with Cullen and Billick, though, because they came in and were straight on it, weren't they? So you can maybe...
They did have a pre-season, but with Premier League teams, though, fairness. So they still had like a good pre-season, whereas Reeves was unattached, didn't have a club to train with. And then when he did come, he was clearly not fit enough, and he only got fit towards the end of the season.
But that's the sort of market we're looking at. I mean, we could actually be scraping the barrel, and if we're looking at unattached players, you know, what sort of training are they getting?
You mean as quick as possible so they're up to speed.
Yeah.
So
there's a slight problem there, but, you know, Bowyer and Gallen are very good at managing these things.
We've got to trust them, and they came up in the goods last season, so, you know, we've got to believe in them and trust them, haven't we?
Yeah. You chap said there's been plenty of videos flying around, which is so common, isn't it, these days, professional footballers, you know, showing off their Instagram videos of them doing their drills out in a random park. Have you heard any whispers and rumours of particular players coming back and being well up for it? Who's having a good pre-season? Do we know of any of that?
Well, I see Tom Lockyer was the new signing from Bristol Rovers was well up for it, and obviously he had Chuck Zaniki, his birthday while they were out there, and so they've all sung happy birthday to him. And but no, not really. I mean, you know, I think the lads are just, I think they're all up for it, to be honest. You know what I mean? And it's like Ben Purinton came back. They had that little video with Naby Sarr.
Yeah, that was great to see.
He came in and he's basically said it's like nothing's changed. You've got a few new faces, and they've all involved in the team bonding, and so it's looking good. Hopefully,
yeah. These are the things that we've got to put the positives on. You know, we've got to have a great pre-season and really build up the fitness. And also that team spirit that we're taking over from last season, obviously the playoff success. You know, Lee Bowie has got a great team unit there, and that will take us a long way. And I think with the fans as well, you know, it's going to be difficult. I mean, obviously we've got some very, very good sides coming down to the Valley next season, but it's going to be tough for them because the Valley will not be an easy place to come.
No, we'll talk about the new signings very shortly, but on the subject of Instagram and social media videos, any initiation songs flying around?
I didn't see any.
They didn't mention it, did they?
No, they should definitely have done it.
They didn't film them anyway.
Well, that's fine. I'll flip it round to you guys. If you just signed for Charlton, what's your initiation song? You stood up on the chair. The lads are clapping.
Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Oh, mate, that's a banger. I have a karaoke set list, and that is on there. That's a banger.
Absolute
great.
Banger.
Follow that.
Come on, mine. What's yours?
I can't even think.
I might go.
Of course you can.
Yeah. I'll go on and I'll go Wonderwall by Oasis.
Then. Yeah, everyone can join in. Yeah. As soon as you can get a bit
and
of crowd reaction,
and we can
it
end
helps.
It at the end with our own words, but we won't say it on air.
But if you can get everyone else to drown
it
out your own voice.
Anyway.
I thought I was going to get away with it then.
Absolutely not. Hiding in the corner.
I'll probably go for a bit of either your song, Elton John, or Careless Whisper, George Michael.
Oh, it's got to be Careless Whisper.
Absolute crackers. There we are, throwing it out there. If you were signing for Charlton Athletic, what would be your initiation song? Get in touch at Love Sport Radio 0208 70 20 558. But after this break, we will discuss some of the signings that have come in during the week.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, welcome back. Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. We've just been talking more initiation songs during the break. I was telling a story of a friend who was at Norwich City media, and they made him do it. Not even a player, and had to stand up in front of all. Again, took some massive guts, and he did. Was it Sugar Hill Gang? Was it, what's it called again? You've got it in front of you. Rapper's Delight.
Yes.
Have you still got it on the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on, just give it a quick. Yeah. We all know this one, right? This is the thing. Old school hip-hop and get everyone involved. And he absolutely nailed it. Went on the internet, went viral. Initiation songs, what would they be? If you were signing for a footballer, I was saying I had to recently do a similar thing with another job. We were all made to do it. And I went all in. I went Peter Andre, Mysterious Girl, top off, crowd interaction. It's got to be done.
Anyway, swiftly moving on, I should update you on the tennis. It appears that Murray is about to go through in his doubles game with Pierre Hubert. It's in the fourth set. They're now 5-love up in the fourth, which means that they'll be winning 3-1. And into the next round tomorrow, he is in mixed doubles action, himself and Serena Williams. What a pairing that is. They're going to be action then. So, right, let's talk about these new signings then and not about what they'd be singing. You've had a few players come in during the week, one returning and two brand new ones, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yeah, Tom Lockyer.
Tom Lockyer. I have a very good friend who is a Bristol Rovers fan, and he said to me that Lockyer's looked like a championship player for a few years now. Some mistakes, so he's still fairly young. He's only 24 years old, yep. But a really, really strong player, really good player, and he says we've got a real, real good deal there bringing him in because... he's been their best player for a while.
Yeah, well, I remember Bristol Rovers away and drew 0-0, and he marshalled Taylor really well that day. Yeah. A very good player and an excellent signing on a free.
Yeah, definitely excited by this signing. Also, Lee made a point that Tom's got the ability to sort of bring the ball out of defence. Yeah. So I think it's definitely an adequate replacement for Patrick Bauer.
Without a doubt.
And he's settled in well this week. There was a nice interview with him.
Yeah.
He had the confidence to have his interview topless.
Yeah.
So, I mean, fair play to the guy.
Sorry, obviously I've not seen this interview. You're going to have to paint more of a picture. You probably have to... you know, explain a little bit. Why is it in pre-season in the sun? Yeah. Is that why it's not got a top on?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Possibly.
Do you not just put the vest on just for the purposes of being, you know, interviewed?
Yeah, I'm just sort of trying to...
It was
sort
one
of
for
think,
the ladies.
Yeah,
so I'm looking at a picture of Tom here. He's quite a pale Welshman. I mean...
He is,
is he someone who can get away with that?
Well,
I thought he did. Yeah. I'd gladly swap, put it that way.
We're really getting into the nitty-gritty here of football, aren't we, this evening? but it's interesting with Tom, because this is an obvious step up for him, isn't it? He's been at Bristol Rovers his entire career. It's kind of what I like, though, in football, when you're given an opportunity to a player, and you talk about young, hungry players, instead of having someone who's... No one's necessarily going to come to Charlton for a payday, with all due respect, but it's a player who's coming to the football club, and this is the pinnacle for him, in the sense of this is the highest he's been in terms of a club and also a level. And I think that's kind of a great way for Charlton to go down in terms of characters in the club. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've spoken about this a little bit before, but I really like it when there's a player that comes to the club. Not because Charlton are like handing out debuts to people or anything like that, but when this is the highest they've been in their career, this is the biggest club they've been to, and they really feel like they've got something to prove, that they deserve to be at this level, they deserve to be at a club this size. Whereas someone who's maybe come through maybe the Man United, Arsenal, whatever academy,
someone like Trixenike.
Well, yeah, maybe. But no, I was thinking more of Nicky Ajoze, who came from the Man United academy.
Who did he just sign for? Exeter. Mm, yeah. No, I saw that on Twitter earlier.
And he didn't look particularly happy, did he?
No.
He looked so miserable.
I was going around
so grumpy.
But again, it's the classic footballer tweets, isn't it? When you see the announcement on Twitter of them holding the shirt, the famous one was Aaron Lennon, wasn't it?
Oh, he looked so glum.
Yes, he didn't look particularly happy to be signing for Everton. So yeah, Nicky as clearly chuffed as into. To go into Exeter as perhaps the other guys. But Trixenike, you mentioned a completely different situation here. This was a guy who was incredibly highly rated when he was coming through at Arsenal. And he's been here, there and everywhere now. And again, he's now working his way back up. So again, the way you can flip it is it's an opportunity for somebody to get back up the football pyramid and be playing at a level where clearly he feel he belongs.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if you just look at his last couple of seasons, obviously he suffered a relegation with NK Dons. But then he buckled down under the new manager, Paul Tisdale, and has scored a decent amount of goals. I think it's about 19 goals he scored. And I was very impressed with his video clips. He's a powerful unit, isn't he?
He's a big old boy, yeah.
Very good. And notice that he can strike with both feet.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of versatility there because he can work as an out-and-out striker or fill in the number 10 role. And I think, again, Lee and Steve Gallen have
pulled an absolute wizard out yet, haven't they?
And again, back to Tom Lockyer. I think the thing I like about Tom Lockyer is that, yes, in an ideal world, he'd have loved to have gone with Bristol Rovers up to the Championship because he's a gas head, he admits that.
He's a Welsh lad,
lad. They love him down there, and obviously he's come up and they've had a great few years coming back from the Conference and up through the League 2 and League 1. But, I mean, he's a hungry player, and this is the next step. And clearly, Bowyer and Gallen recognise that, and they just want to continue that nurturing. And, you know, I'm very excited. These sort of players that they seem to get in.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did say a big influence or a big reason that he ends up joining Charlton was what Lee Bowyer said to him, the conversations they had. He knew that this was a project something Lee Bowyer was building, and it was a big reason for him to join. So, yeah, like you said, they've really done some good work there.
And he made a point, didn't he, in his interview, when he was speaking with Bowyer, he just felt it was so surreal the way Bowyer was putting the project to him.
Yeah.
You know, what he was expecting and laying it all out for the future. And he was just so excited by it. So it's so good to hear.
And it must be, though, because without delving into things about the ownership and whatnot, it always feels that you're almost going from day to day and season to season, that it must be hard for you to see the project and what really is happening at your football club. But clearly Lee sees you know, where it can go, and players are buying into exactly what he's saying. So that must bring you some kind of reassurance that, irrespective of who is owning your football club, there is someone in charge of the side who does have a clear vision and a clear ideology and is clearly passionate about where he can take that team to, or otherwise he wouldn't still be here.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, let's face it, I mean, we're going to be looking to bring players in on loan as well, aren't we?
Yes.
You know, so we've got the trust of the likes of your Arsenals and your West Hams, so they've not got no problem sending us players on loan, and we've been linked with this Eddie Nketiah guy as well. But you know,
what signing that would be?
No, oh, God, yeah, not many. But, I mean, Chuck Taniki, going back to him, I mean, he's only got to look at, again, talking about the project, but, I mean, just the thought I can play alongside Lyle Taylor, look how what he did for Carlin Grant, you know. Carlin Grant, a year ago, didn't, you know, not many people heard of him. Next minute, he's in the Premier League. You know, I'm not saying just because of Lyle Taylor, but it's certainly part of it.
Yeah, and there was an interesting parallel that someone brought up on Twitter this week. You know, you have someone like Lyle Taylor who came in. I mean, didn't set the world on fire when the signing was made.
Yeah.
And yet, look at the season he's had. Compare that with the money that was paid out to for Will Grigg for Sunderland. And it just shows you, if you're really, really careful and be astute, you can still be a winner in this game. And I'm just praying that we can achieve this in the Championship. And all we want to do is be out of that bottom three. But I bet you Lee Bowyer is aiming a lot higher than that. I really do believe that.
There's no way is that you can start a season just saying to the lads, you know, no, just survive. It's, you can't.
He wants more.
Lee Bowyer is not. He's minimum for him to be playoffs.
Yeah,
the way he thinks. I just think he's like that.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't see him going in. Let's just, you know, keep consolidate like I said last week. Mm. You know, that's not Lee Bowyer for me.
No. In terms of the two signings coming in, Chucks and Tom, positions particularly that needed strengthening, or are you kind of just needing bodies a bit?
Last season we, you know, struggled by with really one striker that's properly banging the goals in from January onwards. Obviously, Vettacoli scored two or three.
Josh Parker came
in, you know, he didn't really score. He did his bit, but we need another goal scorer. So we've signed him. We signed the Macaulay Bond from Leighton Orient.
So it'll be really interesting to see how Macaulay's done. I've not been here for the last few weeks, but I've seen a lot of Leighton Orient over the last season or so and spoken a lot about him.
You know, I've seen, you know, he's a goal scorer.
He is a goal scorer, but he's not. I don't think Macaulay's going to be prolific in the Championship.
No.
But I think he's a good player. Do you know what I mean?
Come off the bench, maybe. Yeah. You know, I mean, he said it himself early on in the week. You know, he's not the fittest. He's probably not the best at the moment, but he's willing to work on it.
Yeah.
So again, another hungry player wants to better himself. So.
£200,000, I think, is a bit of a snip.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, in an ideal world, if we can get another striker in, and if it was this chap from Arsenal, Nketiah, that would be fantastic.
What a song.
But we are a little bit concerned, especially about the midfield because it depends how it goes in pre-season. Obviously, Bilic continued his great form in the summer. He was putting in some great performances for the under-21s for Poland. And obviously, Cullen's just seeing how the pre-season goes at West Ham.
He's out of contract.
So The midfield is an area which has still got a lot of gaps for me.
Yeah.
And but we've got the left-back berth sorted out now. That was the other player.
So Ben Prongton.
Yeah.
Again, a bit of a strange one in the sense of he was on loan last season, initially at AFC Wimbledon, then to you, but from Rotherham. Rotherham getting relegated from the Championship back into League One. But despite the fact he couldn't get in Rotherham's team, so he was in League One, and they're now in League One, he's got himself a move into the Championship.
Yeah, well, he did a really good job last season. He played really well, got the goal at Wembley, which is, you know, his defining moment. And I think he'd be really good as well as like competition for Lewis Page, who's our other left back, basically unopposed in that position at the moment. And then as soon as Purrington comes in, who had a great season last season, it's going to, you know, drive him on to do better.
Two totally different left backs, aren't they? Exactly. Lewis Page is a marauding up and down, gets across in. Purrington, he just sits there. He's a solid defender.
I mean, a full back, not a wing back.
Absolutely. Yeah. He came in and we conceded something like 12 goals and we only lost two games that he played in.
Yeah.
You could see how solid we were with him in the team. You get a few Charlton fans, oh, he don't cross the ball, he don't this. But Lee Bowyer told us when he signed him, that's not his game.
Yeah.
He's a defender. And for me personally, I want defenders to defend first.
Yeah, I mean, he's a solid 7 or 8 out of 10 every week. And yeah, I think he will be in the driving seat from the word go. I'd be very surprised if he puts Page ahead of him for that opening game.
Well, Page's still got to prove his fitness, isn't
exactly.
he?
But I think there's also, again, versatility in that area because, you know, Bowyer could sort of change it in games and bring on Page and play further up on the left side of the midfield for what you've just pointed out, Martin. Yeah. You know, the running capabilities of him. So there's much to be pleased about for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Get your calls in this evening until 10 PM. 0208 7020 558 is the number you need to ring. At Love Sport Radio is the Twitter handle. We will do the buyout takeover discussion. Next. What's a buyover? Just made up a word. And also do Legend of the Week. Listen to the Chart and Fan Show here on Love Sport.
Love Sport.
Right, chaps, take it away. Who is this week's Legend of the Week?
It is the one and only Mr. Steve Gritt.
Tell me more.
Well, he is a legend because not only was he a player for Charlton, he was also a manager. Player-manager back in the early 1990s with the great...
91, yep.
Yeah, Alan Kerbishley. But going back, he joined us from Bournemouth around about 77, 78.
77, yeah, 1977.
Yeah, and he ended up becoming, I think, the fifth all-time appearance maker for Charlton, around about 420-odd appearances.
425, to be exact, yes.
Thank you very much, Martin, for your exact stats there.
Please tell me you just knew that. You didn't Google it.
No, I did know that.
You knew that.
Yes, of course I Googled it. No, he's a fantastic player. I mean, he played in every position for the club.
Yes.
I believe so. He played in goal as well. I can't remember the game, but he definitely played in
goal. It was away at Coventry, yes. Oh, I was there, of course.
Come on. You got the points now.
Martin, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Letting the side down.
Highfield Road.
Stevie Gritt was one of those players, you know, he'd play every week, seven out of 10. And I know there's, you get that stat thrown at you, always give 110%. You know, you can't give 110%, but if someone could, Stevie Gritt would be that player, wouldn't he? He would never give up, and he would always be the one. You see him, he would be tearing the backside out of someone if they weren't doing something right. And, you know, he was just epitomised everything about Charlton.
Yeah, I think back in the day, I've got to hold my hands up, I used to get a little bit infuriated with Steve because he did used to make sort of one or two errors and they used to be highlighted, but it was only after he retired that I started to appreciate what he brought to the team. And he brought a lot of good players on along with Alan Kerbishley. Our very own Lee Bowyer started under Gritt and Kerbishley,
Sean Rufus,
John Robinson. And I'll tell you, one of the things I really admire, and I know the Brighton fans love him for this, after his spell at Charlton as manager, he went and did a 2-year spell at Brighton. And Brighton almost dropped out of the Football League and he saved them. And he did a remarkable job because that was about the time when they were leaving the Goldstone Ground and everything was going
up in the air.
And he did a fantastic job. And then the following season, he didn't disgrace himself, but I think the ownership at the time wanted a bit more and then they released him. But he still came back to Charlton as academy manager. I think he spent six years with the academy from 2004 to 2010. And he's served this club so well as a player, manager, in the backroom staff, etc.
And, you know, also back in the day when we used to go to the reserve games at Parkview Road, we'd regularly have a couple of pints with him and the guy Earl of Warwick before games. Absolute gentleman as well.
Now, gents, you have to tell me a little bit about Steve Gritt because he left Charlton the year I was born.
You're feeling a bit out of this, are you?
Out of place, that bubble.
But Ollie, you can choose the legend for next week for
your
era.
Well, there we are then. Steve Gritt, he is your legend of the week.
This is Love Sport.
absolutely love Ollie. You've just snuck it in there right at the end. Right, we are taking calls this evening. Ahmed has called in. Ahmed, a very good evening. I believe that you want to talk about some potential new signings, don't you?
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of... Hi, guys. I thought you could shed some light on the Otsuma transfer saga, because apparently the rumour is he was at the training ground last week, but he didn't sign. It's not clear why he didn't sign.
There's a few I's and T's to be dotted on his contract, I believe, because he gave him the 14 days notice.
He has given 14 days notice.
I think he'd been given him their 14 days notice because he hasn't been paid or something. And then I think,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think there's some sort of like legal wranglings going on. I think we've just got to be patient with that one.
Yeah, I mean,
So basically, he's technically signed, so to speak.
Well, I don't know. I can't say that.
as poorly Ron Charn has been over the last few years, I mean, Bolton have a good case to be as badly run as well, so nothing's going to be straightforward between a transfer between them clubs. So
I totally agree with that.
Ahmed, what you've seen of Ostuma, is he a player you want to see come in and sign for your club?
Yeah, yes, I would actually. He's a good attacking midfielder. He gets into, he's a box to box player, and he can play with both feet. And he actually scored against us. I remember one time we played them. Yeah. With a very good header.
He's got a header. He's 5'5".
Yeah, exactly. Credit to him for being able to have made it in the professional game at that height, it's quite unusual.
Ahmed, do you think we'd have room for both Ostuma and Johnny Williams if we could get Johnny Williams to be with us?
When it comes to Charlton, I'm always greedy. I'd like both.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And it's encouraging that Johnny Williams is out there with the team at in Malaga.
Well, it's very positive, but I suppose at the end of the day, it depends what other offers he gets, presumably. They'll have to weigh up.
Yeah, but Lee's being very fair with him.
A player like that isn't going to be short of offers. I just can't believe that. Is that all?
Yeah, I just guess that, you know, teams out there are a little bit reluctant because of the injuries and what's happened in the past with him. You know, he's unreliable, and to commit, you know, money and wages to such a player is that it's holding them back.
You could always be very flexible with the, like, you could say we'll give you an 18-month deal or something like that. Mm. Bearing in mind that yes, he has had injury problems, but he hasn't had that any serious ones with us so far. Touch wood.
No.
But I mean, it would be great to sign. I mean, the only thing in my view is, can we afford him, basically? I think that would be
That's the thing. I think, obviously, Lee Bowie has made it perfectly clear to him that he's got to accept quite a reduced wage if he comes to us. So, you know, he's presumably hedging his bets at the moment. But I think he's got a love for us. I mean, after what happened
last
season.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah. So, fingers crossed.
Is he someone again you want to sign?
Any other signings? Have you heard anything yourselves about any other signings possible at the moment? Or
there's a lot of players that we've been sort of linked with, but nothing as firm. Like Otsuma seems like the most sure thing at the moment. Now and then you hear a few players like here and there that, you know, might be interested in Charlton, or Charlton might go after. I've heard like, you know, Ben Amos maybe come back.
Ben Amos. Yeah. Yeah. And the interesting thing as well is we're suddenly spending fees on players as well.
Yeah, that's a nice change.
That was a shock to the system.
Indeed. But I mean, Steve Gallen did mention that who's out there with the boys, he's got his phone, he's got his laptop, so they can still do a bit of work while they're in the sunshine. So it's all going on behind the scenes.
But next week we might see some more movement, basically, I would have thought.
Ahmed, are you optimistic about the season ahead?
Yes, I am, very much so. Yeah, I think we've managed to keep Lee Bowyer despite the ups and downs about that and about his contract, and I think he can do another good job in the Championship.
I mean, when you say good job, what are we talking here?
Well, I agree with what you were saying earlier. He'd like to do a Sheffield United, I think, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Like you said, he isn't going to go in there in the first game and say, all we got to do is get 21st place. He's going to say, I want a lot more than that. I want playoffs minimum and maybe more. As I said, he'd like to do a Sheffield United. His view is, if they can do it, why can't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Ahmed, top man, really appreciate the call, mate. Do keep calling in to the show. Always appreciate your contribution. So, yeah, let's chat about a couple of those players. And let's start with Erhan Ostuma. Not a strange player, but an interesting player. Certainly it could do a job.
Yeah, well, he's a local lad as well. He's from Greenwich, so he knows the area. And he was a youth team player at Charlton, so we do know all about him. But, and I think Bowyer would like to have two players for every position, so whether he would Otsuma and Johnny Williams. He's a good player. Didn't set the world light last season, but then again, Bolton weren't exactly great, were they?
No one at Bolton did.
But he was really good at Walsall, wasn't he?
He was amazing. You know? The first time I saw him play, I think it was against us. I thought that, as I said, that's the sort of player we should be going after. He's playing for Walsall, he's clearly a smaller club than us. We should be going after a player like that who can change a game. Like, they relied on him so heavily, and he could carry that team. And I thought, as soon as we saw him, like, let's try and sign him. And obviously it didn't work out, and a few times we've come close, and I really hope he does come, because I do think he's a very decent player, and given a chance, he can do a job.
As a club, we've got to have the ability to change different systems, have different players. So we might go over Aniki and Taylor up front, and then if that's not working, bring on an Otsum, bring on the Williams, you know, like the Williams at Wembley. If we can have 20 minutes of Williams at Wembley every week, I'll be happy with that. He can sit on the bench, come on with that 20 minutes, job done.
Absolutely. I mean, we were clearly after him in the January transfer window. So he's someone that we've wanted for some time. And, yeah, whenever I've seen him, he's always caught my eye, despite, you know, he's a little guy. he's a very, very tricky player. And he actually scored a header down at the Valley the other season. So Lee Bowie was scratching his head wondering how that happened.
Yeah, I'd suggest that defenders...
Sorry, Jake. While I think of it, we're joined by another new listener tonight. Reese has just got in touch with me, and he just wanted me to give him a shout out. So, good evening, Reese, and welcome to the show. Nice to have you on board.
Yes. Hi, Reese. Thank you very much, Reese. Keep listening, my friend. Ostuma, but the thing that kind of sticks out, jumps out for me, not particularly high about him, is that he is a player who's scored a lot of goals, but in League One and non-league. And as I mentioned, let's not read too much into the Bolton thing, because it was a relegated side and everyone can kind of take a certain degree of less blame from that debacle there. But is there a certain belief, or he needs to do it at championship level? You know, he's done it at League One. He's 28 years old, so he's not a kid. You know, you get players, don't you, who excel at certain levels, and that next one is perhaps just a little bit too much. And, you know, Ostuma, I think there's a chance, certainly, that he's one of them.
Yeah. You could think of a few of them, like in the championship, you know, you know, Jordan Rhodes and British Sombolongas.
Exactly.
Who can't make the step up or do an absolute job in that level. He could well be that person.
Is he just a League One, you know, flat track bully?
Yeah. Well, he could well be. He absolutely could well be, but we've never really seen him in the championship. And I think he's definitely someone you could take a stab on, because, like we say, he scored a lot of goals. He's very tricky. He's very good technically. And you just got to see, because he's exactly the sort of person you need to take a punt on at this level, especially in the position that we're in.
Yeah, I think Lee Bowie is possibly taking a leaf out of Chris Powell's book, Alan Kirbishley. They kind of nurtured players when they got promoted to a higher division, bring players on who, like I said with Tom Lockyer, who are hungry. And I'll take your point, Jay. I know what you're getting at, because obviously we're going to be up against a different caliber of player next season, and it's going to be difficult. But it's all about bonding that unit together and see where it can take us. I mean, there's no guarantees.
There never is.
No.
Yeah. But, no. I'm just playing devil's advocate. You know, you're asking the questions. Sometimes the question marks have to be asked about certain players. You mentioned earlier about perhaps delving in to the loan market, sniffing around a couple of Premier League clubs, see what's going on. Obviously, we had Bilic last year, who did a wonderful job. Whether they're able to do a deal again there next season remains to be seen. But we've been speaking to Arsenal, or rumours have it, about kind of an up-and-coming strike, haven't we? With Eddie, how was it, Nketiah?
Yeah.
Highly rated, scored a lot of goals in the England youth sides, is playing a lot of their League Cup games, so clearly they like him. Mm-hmm. He's probably not going to get a huge amount of game time, if any, for Arsenal next year. So a loan move makes sense. Mm. And a loan move perhaps to a club in London, where he can still kind of go backwards and forwards to Arsenal during the week. I mean, is this a player that would excite you? And again, is it a player that you need now you've got Chuck Saniki as well as Lyle Taylor?
Yeah, also.
And Macaulay Bonn.
I mean, you mentioned London. I mean, he'll be coming back to his roots, because I believe he's a Lewisham boy. Yep. He used to play for Hilly Fields, which used to be my local park. So, he's going to feel very comfortable coming back to the area, albeit just from north to south. But, I've heard lots of good things. I think Arsene Wenger, when he was there, praised the boy.
Rated him highly,
I think he rated him in a sort of same context as sort of a little bit of showing the Vieiras. Sorry, not Vieiras, because he's a midfield player. Yeah. But he was certainly of a high ilk, potentially. Mm. And all the sort of comments I've seen on social media have got nothing but praise for him. And obviously Gallen and Bowyer have been tracking him for some time, I would have thought. And I'll be very excited if we get him. I think we can really sort of move forward with us.
Well, if he wants to
like
move
that.
His career on, he's only got to look at what Billick done at our club last season, and he'll know he'll get game time. And you
he'll
need
speak to him. He'll speak to him about
absolutely,
it.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
We need four strikers without a doubt in this league. No two ways about it, because we'll get injuries. We'll, you know, Chuck Zaniki might go on a barren spell, you know. So we need a bit of, you know, strength in depth. And Ketcher is, well, he's different class. I think he'd be a great signing.
Yeah, and I believe that there was a time where they were choosing between who was going to develop in a certain way. It was going to be either Eddie Nketiah or Steffi Mavadidi. And they went with Nketiah, and Mavadidi's obviously, he came to us for a bit, and then now he's playing for Juventus.
Well, as I said earlier, Arsenal trust us to give us their players. They've done it, Mavadidi, Bilic, yep. You know, Francis Coquelin going back a few years.
Alexander Song.
I mean, when Francis Coquelin came to us, he was going to sign for us, but then Arsenal wanted him back. He went back, and look what happened. Yeah. He just took off, you know. And so they trust us as a club to take their players.
And it's not all one-way traffic, because we gave him Carl Jenkinson, didn't we?
Like for like that.
Yeah. But the other thing I've noticed about Nketiah is he's obviously been well recognised right at the top, because he's gone through the England under 16, yes. 17, up to 19. So, they know he's a good one. So, yep. He's a great prospect.
Watch this space. Until 10 p.m. this evening. This is the Charlton Fan Show here on Loveport Radio. Before we go this evening, we will do that. What was my word I made up earlier?
Buy over.
Yes, we'll do the buy over next. Love Sport. Right, we've just been speaking about Eddie Nketiah. Paul, you were saying that you seem to remember Wenger comparing him to someone, and we can't work it out.
No, I just can't.
I can't think it can be Henri, because Nketiah, he's a teenager now. Henri's not played for Arsenal for well over a decade, so he wasn't there.
Yeah, but then we can't think of a good Arsenal striker since Henri and before Lacazette. There aren't any.
It's got to be
Adebayor?
Nicholas Bentner?
No.
If anyone can help us, 0208 7020 558, please ring in and help us out.
It's like, you know when you sign a player on Football Manager? Yeah. And it says in the corner, the next.
Yeah.
Who is it? Who was Nketiah supposed to be? If you do know, send us a quick tweet at Love Sport Radio, because it's going to be bugging the few of us for the next few minutes. But let's talk about this buy over and the talks during the week. It changes every week. There's certain radio presenters who seem to believe or seem to tell us that it's on the brink of happening. We've heard it so many times. But it is you guys who I trust to be in the know. Is there anything to know? What's to know? What is going on? This Mehmet Dalman bid, the Cardiff City chairman, is it happening? Is it not?
I'm completely numb to it at the moment. It's like
are you so sick? I know.
Two years.
I feel bad even asking, but I've got to.
Yeah. Thing is, we've been at this stage. It's so close. It's now off. It's nearly there. You know, I'm not really going to believe anything. I'm not going to believe he's even interested in the club until it's happened.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm at that point where there's nothing anyone could say to me to make me go like, oh, it's nearly there, because we've been here so many times that I have no idea. I have no idea if he's close, if he's far away, if he's even in the country. We could get this news story every week and it wouldn't make my opinion change right now.
Well, as ridiculous as it sounds, getting promoted has probably been the worst thing for us to get rid of Douche Châtelet, because he's now up the bid to 50 million or something, so they reckon. And who's going to pay that for a championship club that's literally just got in? And what was that?
No, that's my chair.
Oh. carry on.
Nobody noticed.
So, you know, it's just unbelievable. We've got to put up with this week in, week out. It's just, Ollie said, I'm numb to it now. I don't even bother looking at Twitter anymore to see if there's any news.
But Martin, you were clearly upset.
You tweet,
I think,
about
on
it
on Tuesday.
Yeah, no, but, yeah. Your tweets.
You're the same with me. We were led to believe, weren't we, that there was this magical aura about these dates, June the 30th / July the 1st. Because it was the end of the tax year,
right? Okay.
And there was gonna, something was gonna happen.
You have solved this dream.
Yeah, exactly. And we should know better. And you know, we were very hopeful that this chap Dowman, the Cardiff City chairman, was going to step in, because I think out of all the bids that are out there and what we'd heard of them, he sounded the most plausible. A lot of people were a bit concerned about the Australians, and if they did come in, they wouldn't be able to sustain it.
Yeah.
And they were looking to sort of maybe get loans in and to offset it against the assets.
A Glazer situation.
Yeah, and that was that. It could turn out to be even worse than Roland de Châtelet long term, if that's at all possible.
Heaven forbid.
But yeah, it looks like the Dowman, as it says here in our notes, that it's hanging by a thread. Yeah. But I'm with you guys now. It's just getting so ridiculous, and we just shouldn't be fooled by this. And the notes from the fans forum came out later this afternoon. The answers from Lillian de Turck, who's Roland de Châtelet's spokesman, and he's just sidestepping the whole time. He's just not. We had Wayne on last week, yeah. And
his questions weren't in there.
Well, yeah, I mean they were just pushed aside, weren't they?
Yeah, because he asked pertinent questions about Richard Murray and things like that, and they were just weren't in the answers, were they? So,
well, he just said, "I'm not prepared to discuss that. It's not part of his remit to discuss." And he's come out with a bit more criticism of our very own Airman Brown.
Same old thing.
Yeah, it's just a mess. But we're compartmentalising it. Especially on this show, we just try and sort of completely focus on Borough, don't we?
Me and Paul have applied to go to the next fans forum to the club. We have sent our emails in. Hopefully, we'll get one of us to get a space, if not both of us, and we'll go and hopefully we can put some questions in as well.
But what is the point in a fans forum if they're not going to answer questions about the takeover? Because surely that will be the 98% of all questions coming in the fans forum.
They hide behind these NDAs or whatever, non-disclosure agreements, don't they?
But there's no obligation, is there, to hold a fans forum?
No.
So why do a fans forum if that's all anybody wants to talk about, and they're not willing to answer or shed any light on it, unable to?
Well, this all goes back again to the little spat between Airman Brown, Rick Everett and Roland de Châtelet, and about the communication, and, you know, De Châtelet went to the EFL and said, "I'll buy our club," ridiculously.
Happens all the time.
And then he sort of like said, "Well, you know, they're being really nasty to me because we don't communicate." So that's the whole point of it. They're making this fact that he's going to show, we're communicating with the fans, which they're not really.
Yeah, I'll take your point, Jake. You know, you're getting to the point where there is no point. But the good thing about it is that you can catch them out, because there were two things. In past fans forums, it was put to de Turck, would the director's loans have any bearing on future negotiations? And he said they wouldn't in the past, but now it clearly has become a problem with the latest dealings with potential bidders. And also, we were told that even if we got promoted, that the price wouldn't be put up. Mm. Well, it clearly...
Well, that thing about that thing about the director's loans is, one of the directors, Dave White, is on Twitter quite openly, and he said, "Well, it's not a problem. That's not an issue. They don't want their money back if we get to the Premier League." Hmm. So someone's lying, and I don't think it's Dave White.
Yeah, and the answer he gave about the director's loans in the statement today was, he was just getting his knickers in a twist about the wording of it. And you know,
the old lost in translation classic, is it?
Yeah, just on the basis that what if we never get promoted to the Premier League, and if obviously directors eventually in 20, 30, 40 years time pass away, what's the situation then? So it's all very murky waters,
and not getting any clearer.
Not getting any clearer, and I'm just getting bored with it.
I do keep asking Dave White to come on the show. I will wear him down one day.
Keep asking the question. Chaps, it has been an absolute pleasure seeing you and speaking to you again this evening. I think it's only fitting that Paul, if you were to sing "Careless Whisper" to see out this evening's show, back yes. in vocals. You ready? I'm kidding, mate.
I was just about to go.
Are you ready?
well, just give me the opening line. I'd get me started.
No, absolutely not. Got to do it. We haven't got time for it. Chaps,
if I was a sculptor,
right?
But then again, no. All You're a man who paints potions.
Somebody press the button and go to the ads. That's the end
Traveling
of the show.
Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.